This passage I'm going to read today from John's Gospel is just one part of Jesus' longest recorded personal prayer. He prays this entire prayer before his arrest, trial, conviction, and torturous death on the cross. At the very end of this portion, this part of the pericope, is this plea, where Jesus prays these words, so that they may be one as we are one. You may have heard Linda say this in the preface before the Hebrew Testament reading this morning, that this particular Sunday of Easter beckons us beyond the anxiety of not knowing what is next. We know that Jesus goes to death on the cross. In that moment, for his disciples and everybody else wondering during that horror, what's next? We are beckoned into this divinely established purpose of life, which is unity, that we all may be one. It is a plea, by the way, that is repeated in the whole of chapter 17 four different times. We hear it once, but it repeats again in verse 21, 22, and 23. We're taught in seminary that when phrases like this are repeated at least three times, we ought to be paying attention because God is trying to speak to us something incredibly relevant. And if we're just reading it and flipping the pages, we're going to miss the bigger picture. And that bigger picture is exactly beckoning us beyond the anxiety of not knowing what is next into the divinely established purpose of life, that they may all be one. So while I read this, let's think about why Jesus prays these words for us today. From the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Would you pray with me? Holy Creator God, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you, and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We need to say it again for the people sitting in the nosebleeds. Jesus, what are you saying? So that they all may be one. It's a loaded request, my friends. It's debated, too, as this discourse is written roughly 60 years after the death of Jesus. It is actually a prayer of Jesus, or is it a plea from the writer of John as pressures from the empire still act to fragment a rising religious tradition, the outside pushing against Christ's red letters? Much like the empires of today pressuring the church. Surely you can't push back against the authority of the Pope, right? Right? Oops. Well, I guess you can if you don't like what he has to say. And so it goes. So that they may be one as we are one. In verse 11. So that they may all be one. In verse 21, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 11 repeated in verse 22. And finally in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one. It's as if Jesus were repeating this for the people who didn't hear him the first three times. Just in case you didn't hear me, let me say it again. I'm praying for you in unity. But why? Unity is, of course, the main purpose. And as we read the Gospel of John in its context, written roughly 60 to 70 years after the death of Christ, we also understand that the Roman Empire is not gone. It still exists. This new rising religious following that is pushing back against the authority and its systems of its time is now receiving its own pushback. Because the best way to defeat anything good is to cause division from within. United we stand, divided we fall. Is it any wonder why Christianity can't get much traction with social justice issues when from within the religious tradition itself we are so fragmented as to debate what social justice actually is? Feed the hungry. And yet we've got professed Christians wearing badges arresting people on the streets for doing just that same thing. With more than 47,000 organized Christian traditions, we realize that there are almost the same number of definitions for what justice may be. It's difficult to be united. Not impossible, but difficult indeed. I also happen to believe that in this prayer, the writer was speaking to a level of accountability from within the developing institution, this revolutionary act of love that we know as Christianity, an organization which, by the time he's writing this, is still in its infancy, that the writer is looking for accountability from within. The author brings the readers back to the main purpose of the cause, a gentle reminder throughout the prayer that we repeat. It's a reminder of the power they have in Christ, the power we talked about last week. Truly, I tell you, you will do these things I do in greater things too. What does that mean for us? Why did Jesus tell us this in chapter 14 and then in chapter 17, pray for all of us to be united with this wonderful gift that Christ gives us, saying that we have that same ability and more? Because with great, by the way, this comes from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, right? And that's accountability. And Christians, as with any other organized global religion, has great power. We also have the ability to misuse that power. And if we're not held accountable from within, fractures are bound to happen. Accountability helps create a little more heaven beneath our feet than chaos. It's a reminder to the listeners, to be one, that is, that we are all bound by this Christian covenant, should we choose it, to do just what Jesus would do, to initiate the coming of the kingdom of heaven, which for Christ is right here, right now. Jesus, if we heard this right, is asking on our behalf, not on behalf of the world, but for us, because we belong to God, and God has given us authority to be stewards of this great part of creation. When Jesus talks about eternal life, he is defining it not as a future place, but as knowing the one true God and the way of Jesus whom God sent. It's the here and now. I truly believe in the unity that Christ prayed for. At the same time, being created in the image of God, I believe that God and the Spirit can be equally as frustrated as I am when we observe the fractures in our communities. When we see discord in our own tradition. When we see hypocrisy. When we see pastors praying for Learjets. When we see faith healers in big arenas who won't dare to show up in hospitals. But I believe we can overcome these things. I believe that unity is possible. I believe that when unity exists too, that bad things will still happen, my friends. But that holy discernment and accountability, when we grip that with a firm, faithful hand, that works to derail the evil of humans' greed and the ability for humans to destroy what God wants us to build. It can be treacherous work. The whole of chapter 17 is known as Jesus' great priestly prayer. And I think for all of us today and in the days to come, it's a good chapter to visit in our daily meditations, because this work that we do today needs our great priestly prayers for unity. We need to be reminded that we are one. One in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Created in the image of God, as diverse as we are, but we are still one. Unity. That we may all be one. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.